your ears and finally tune in the midst of all that I say, Jesus, it's your word we'd hear. Amen. Please be seated. As most of you know, I wasn't here last Sunday. Took my two boys and we went to Pittsburgh. Back home, but this is home. I have my boots on and my Texas cufflinks. Okay. But, you know, I want you to experience a little bit of why I experienced, because it's the place we love and the place we came from. Pittsburgh, when my mother grew up in the city of Pittsburgh, at 12 noon, the street lights were on because the pollution was so bad you couldn't see in front of yourself. It's now a very beautiful city, some wonderful landscapes and profiles, and so we took a couple of pictures from what is Mount Washington above the city, looking down on the city, some wonderful pictures there of the city itself, and my boys there in those pictures. Now, only in a city in which the team has lost will you still have in Walmart the kiosk of the things to be able to buy for the favorite team. And, of course, you can go to the Steelers store in the mall. And then you can move on to, yes, next slide, please. Oh, there we go. A restaurant that's sort of a go-between Jason's Deli, Cotton Patch, and IHOP. And they have cookies that are smile cookies. And then not only, that's a grocery store. Every freezer case had a terrible towel hanging on its handle. Of course, yes, it's Pittsburgh. And we move on. My dad and mom, they're 84 and 85 years old. And they said, can we leave up the Christmas decorations? And at 84 and 85 years old, they're all new. They're new since we were there the last time. They continued. And at 55, I say, do I have to really get them down? At 85, they love it and just enjoy it, and it's just wonderful. There's the boys with my parents at that same restaurant. We just had a wonderful time. And then it was great to connect with and see the seeds that have been planted as I was 14 years rector at that church. And the gentleman that was in the youth group, came to Christ through the youth group, is now the rector. And that's his clergy collar, the back picture, go back to that one, with the Steeler emblem on the clergy collar. So I think I'm going to put that. No, okay. That's all right. Moving right along. So to see, it was great to meet with a former senior warden of mine that when I first came wasn't coming to church, but his wife was. We wooed him back into church. He came to know Christ. Now as he's getting ready to retire, he said, what can I do to make a difference that other people may know who he is? Wonderful to see the seeds germinating. Wonderful to see Jennifer, who runs the preschool program at the church that was beginning to sort of fall apart. She's pulled it back together, capacity 200 students in the Christian preschool connected with the church. Wonderful to see. And so we continue to keep going. Yeah, a friend of ours, his credit card, of course, has a Steeler emblem on it. What else would you have here in Pittsburgh? Continue more pictures of my parents' home, and there's the church that we left, and just wonderful to see new families that have joined, them stretching themselves to say, how do we reach out to our community? You see, I want you to be able to go there and come and see. I want them to come here for them to come and see. It's only natural that I'd want to share things that are special to me with you, my friends here. Our gospel reading today from John chapter 1, verse 43, has that same kind of connection with relationships. John chapter 1, verse 43 from the Message version. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. When he got there, he ran across Philip and said, come and follow me. Philip's hometown was Bethsaida, the same as Andrew and Peter. Philip went and found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and the one preached by the prophets. It's Jesus, Joseph's son, the one from Nazareth. Nathanael said, Nazareth? You got to be kidding. Philip said, come and see for yourself. Here at St. Nicholas Church, we talk a lot about evangelizing. And we push back. Oh, what would I say? Who would I say it to? It scares us. My retiring senior warden of 2 years, Doug Johnson, has shared his wisdom with us on vestry the last 2 years. And I can hear Doug saying, vestry meeting after vestry meeting, it's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. You see, there's a definition of evangelism that goes this way. Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread. That's true. But I think that's even too complicated, because that is saying we're recognizing ourselves to be beggars and needing bread, and then we recognize in another their need. I think it's even something more simple. I think it's what Doug's talking about. It's all about relationships. A commentator, Bob Kaler, says this about our text this morning. John's gospel's operative word is come and see. In John, Jesus never seems to be in a hurry. Whole chapters are spent invested in exploring a conversation that Jesus had with an individual. Jesus seems to invite people to come and stay a while, to encounter. Jesus deals with people on a much deeper level. And then he leaves them to be transformed by that encounter. It's highly relational. It's all about relationship. You see, when we're in relationship with one another, it's only natural with the people that we're in relationship with that we share our stuff. The good stuff, the bad stuff, the stuff that shapes and transforms us and molds us. We naturally share in relationship with those. That's evangelism. If we're telling the story of Jesus and what he's done in us. You see, it's that simple. It's that simple. It's natural with the people we're in relationship with to say, as Philip said, come and see. Come and see. I've told this story before, but it's a story that just absolutely is burned in my memory. And I look at the pulpit back in the church in Pittsburgh, and I see Bishop Cox, a godly man of faith, standing in that pulpit, a man that as he would pray for people to be healed, they would be healed, and as he would evangelize, people would come to Christ. And he tells a story at 30 years old, and forgive me if you've heard it before, his neighbor would say, Bill, when are you going to come to church with me? He wasn't a churchgoer. He was a non-believer. And he'd say, I'll get there. And he said, it was Christmas Eve, and his friend said to him, Bill, the service is at 7 o'clock tonight. I'm going to come by and pick you up at 6 o'clock for you to come and see my church. He said if he had not invited and then come by to pick me up, I wouldn't be standing in this pulpit today. He invited me to come and see. It was natural because he was a friend of mine, and he wanted me to be transformed like he was. I have a question about the story in our text this morning. Could Philip not have told Nathanael about Jesus? I don't think there's a chance. I think these two guys were knit together in a relationship, and of course he's going to tell Nathanael about Jesus because he was blown away. Did you hear the text? Philip went and found Nathanael, told him, we have found the one Moses wrote in the law and the one preached by the prophets. It's Jesus. He was blown away by meeting Jesus. And there's no way that he could keep it quiet. It was natural for him to tell his friend Nathanael, come and see. Come and see. I have two concerns. We live in a time in which many people sit in a church chair or pew across the world and have never encountered Jesus, that he has blown them away for who he is, what he's done, and what he can do. There are many people that sit in a church pew Sunday after Sunday and never have really encountered Jesus and fallen in love with him. It's all about a service attended, rather than coming to celebrate a relationship lived. Second concern, we live in a culture in which we're not in relationship. Now, I want to look at the below 30-year-olds in our crew for sure. A Facebook friend that you've never met is really not a friend in the same way as somebody you're in constant contact with. It was great to be able to visit, as we were in Pittsburgh, the two boys and I went to visit a friend. He's a gentleman that he and his wife weren't coming to church. His first wife had died of cancer. His second wife is diagnosed with cancer. He comes Christmas Eve scared to death. This is many years ago, 15 years ago. And I gave one of those Christmas Eve sermons where I asked people to make a commitment to Christ. And because he was scared to death that his second wife was going to die as the first, he said, "Yes, Lord." And then he jumped in with both feet and came to know the Lord through a course much like our Christianity Explored called Alpha. Unfortunately, now Bruce, some 15 years later, he's dying of cancer. Pray for Bruce. But you see, I keep up with Bruce on Facebook, but there's a friendship underneath it. We live in a culture in which people lack the deep, abiding relationships. Those relationships in which you're going to tell that person the good, bad, and the indifferent. The stuff that blows you away and the stuff that undoes you. My challenge to you is encounter Jesus, that he would blow you away as he blew away Philip in who he is and what he can do. Fall in love with Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the reason we're here today. Build relationships inside the network of the church and outside the walls of this church. Get within people. Get to learn them. Let them know you. And you will begin to naturally share what Jesus is doing in you. And the love of Christ that has changed your life can then change theirs. See, I want to take you all to Pittsburgh for you to see a city that most people think is dirty and dusty, but it's dramatic and there's some wonderful areas. I want you to see my parents' home, particularly at Christmas. And I want them all to come here and experience our life together. Come and see. But more than that, I want the whole world to come and see my Jesus. You change my life and can change theirs if they come and see. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that it's not complicated, but it's just so simple as we're in relationship. Drive us into relationships with the people around us. Help us to get to know our neighbors, our workmates, the people we run into, to develop deep and abiding relationships that we would share our lives with them, that they would come to know what you've done in us, that we, like Philip, would share with those around us, come and see that they too may be transformed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.